Before we start this episode of CFD's Podcast for Good, let's give a little shout out to our presenting sponsor, WSECU. WSECU has been a part of the community since 1957 and has been supporting the CFD in a big way since 2011. Thanks to them, we were able to bring you spectacular events and promotions like the Masquerade Ball, Golf for Veterans Tournament, and our incredible First Week to Give, which has been responsible for raising tens of thousands of dollars in donations to charities throughout our community. For more on how WSECU serves charities throughout our community, visit www.wsecu.org/community. And of course, visit our website to find out more about our incredible partnership with WSECU. And now, here's the show.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to yet another special edition of CFD After Dark. These are the funny things we like to do, the sort of dopier conversations we like to have.
About the two biggest dopes around, so that fits well.
Question one, yeah. Biggest dopes.
That's right. So I am the program manager of the Combined Fund Drive, Philip Kerrigan, and my co-host, as always, is...
Heather Lucas, the fiscal and policy coordinator for the Combined Fund Drive.
And we actually figured since the Midsummer Classic is right around the corner, and our local team's actually pretty good...
Yeah, they are.
We decided to do a baseball podcast this summer. So we have two very special guests with us. Let's go around the
room. Dope number one.
Dope number one. I haven't had the opportunity to call the Deputy Secretary of State that before.
You only get one.
How about you, sir?
My name is Greg Lane. I am the Deputy Secretary of State. And I will say that I am a baseball fan, but I am no expert.
That's all right. So, it's all right. This is not okay. Pardon the interruption. We don't need experts.
Good, nice. Yes.
And actually, now we can call him a recurring guest.
Yep.
Hey, I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
David Elliott, I'm a policy director here and also a fan, but not an expert.
That's awesome. That's awesome. No experts need to be in this room. Yeah. I wouldn't worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
So as with our usual like fun podcasts that we do where we talk about one particular thing, I have a series of questions. We're going to go around the room. And we're going to have everyone answer the question, and we're just going to...
You guys are answering as well.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, good. Absolutely. Oh, fantastic. Yeah. I thought this was just Dave and I.
No.
It's four dopes, not two.
This is great. All right, good.
This is a full-on, nice. Like, a conversation slash argument. I can already tell you one's... Yeah. I can already see which number here is going to cause debate.
I know, too.
All right. So let's start with a unique one, because chances are, if you're a baseball fan, you've been to more than one ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll start with Heather. What is the best ballpark you've ever been to?
I love that you prefaced it with that, first of all, because I didn't get into baseball until my family moved out to Washington State. So I have been to two ballparks.
That's
simply
right.
Because they tore down the Kingdom.
Oh, okay. All
yeah.
right.
So the Kingdom venues. And Safeco, yeah.
Which one did you think was better?
Well, let's see.
The Kingdom had such charm.
The Kingdom did have charm. And I did get to walk on the field in the Kingdom. Not
oh, you
that.
Did?
Safeco, yeah, I did.
For, like, Little League Day?
No. If I could be so cool. No. There was a 4th of July game, and they had, for whatever reason, a concert afterward on the field.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I remember the Presidents of the United States of America.
Wow.
There was a band playing.
That's crazy.
You know, 4th of July, right?
Yeah.
So after the game was over, Mariners won, they invited people to come down and see the concert. So I was like, I'm on the field.
Wow.
There's Jay Buhner's
cool.
spit spot. Yeah. I'm on the field.
Yeah.
I keep getting promises from family that we're going to go to Wrigley, but... Waiting.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's
Waiting.
That's a bucket list one.
Yeah, yeah, Wrigley would be great. My son went to college in Chicago for 4 years.
Uh-huh.
I would go out and visit him, and every time that I would go, the Cubs would be out of town.
No way!
Never was able to get to Wrigley, now it's a really hard ticket to get to. When he started going to school there, it was a pretty easy ticket to get to. But, yeah, so I hope at one point to get to Wrigley.
Well, what's a stadium you've been to that you liked the best?
Well, for me, it comes down to two. One is old school, and one's fairly new ballpark, and I will choose one, but I do want to talk about both.
Yeah.
I'm an old Red Sox fan because I grew up here in Seattle before the Mariners, and so had to choose teams. So the Giants were my National League team, and the Red Sox were my American League team, and so I'd always wanted to get to Fenway, and finally got a chance to go there in 2001, and it just fulfilled all of my expectations.
Yeah, it's a mind-blowing stadium.
It's an amazing experience all the way around. But it's an old ballpark, and you get the nostalgia, which makes it really awesome and cool. But the one new ballpark that I thought was just incredible was AT&T down in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
The setting of that place, sitting right there on the water, and it just, you can't beat it. It really was gorgeous. So I love Safeco, but I got to give the nod to AT&T.
That's pretty cool.
It is a
pretty cool park.
Fantastic park down there. Yeah.
You know, the distinct difference that I find, like, that's one of the most hilariously different styles of ballpark within basically like 5 miles of each other. We went down to San Francisco and we went to the AT&T park first, which is this gorgeous on the water. Also, not as many seats. So they've purposely kind of made it like an intimate ballpark.
Oh, very much so. Yeah.
Right on the water. Yeah. You go on the BART or whatever it is, like 5 minutes down the road into to the Oakland A stadium. Yeah, it's like walking into a correctional facility.
Yeah.
It's like barbed wire fencing, this giant like football stadium that they just slabbed like A's stuff on, and there's your A's ballpark. It was like such a distinct difference.
Well, it's the last of the remaining multi-purpose parks that they built in the 70s and 80s, or, well, 60s, 70s, and 80s that were awful back then.
And
now that it's 40 years old, it's even worse, right?
Yeah. I mean,
And the reports of sewage backing up in the team rooms. Just... It's to go there. Well, I can't imagine being an A and having to play there every
Hey, this is our home stadium. Yay.
I know. Yeah. Every team that travels there talks about what a horrific experience
it is. Yeah. So, what about you, Mr. Elliott?
All right. So, I was listening to Greg because I knew he was going to steal my answer. I just wrote down all the parks that I've been to. And I was going to say Fenway, which is, you know, it's one of those things you got to go do, right?
Yep.
But I was sort of looking at all the parks that I've been to that don't exist anymore.
Yeah, all right.
And that were very industrial, right?
Yeah.
I saw the Phillies, and this is the other thing. Whenever I see a team in their home park, it's either the Yankees on the other side or the Braves on the other side.
Oh, wow.
That's weird.
Entirely by chance.
Yeah.
You know?
That's so funny.
And so I've seen Atlanta play 5 different plays. I've seen the Yankees play a bunch of plays. Veteran Stadium was wild because it had 7 levels.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it was a nuts,
we went up to the 7th level just to see what it looked like. And it really looked like you're...
Did you run out of oxygen?
You're 1,000 feet up.
It's
nuts. I saw a game at Riverfront back in the day.
Oh, the Pittsburgh Pirates.
And so...
No, Riverfront. Cincy. Riverfront, Cincinnati.
Oh, is it Cincinnati?
Yeah, yeah. Three Rivers.
Three Rivers was Pittsburgh.
Was
that's
Pittsburgh.
Right.
I've seen a game at the old Big A in Anaheim before they moved it across the parking lot. Obviously, the Kingdome. I've seen games in 2 different facilities in Minnesota, neither of which is the current facility.
Yeah.
Metropolitan Stadium and the Metrodome. I saw a game in Oakland. It was a beautiful day, but everything you guys said is true.
Not enough beauty in the world.
I saw the races, you know, the hot dog races at County Stadium, the old County Stadium.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And that thing, you want to talk about put up on the cheap. I mean, that was,
Yeah.
And then
they threw it up to steal the Pilots.
That's exactly what they did.
Oh,
exactly.
Well, we don't have to get into that right away.
And, right away.
And then we saw a game at Dodger Stadium. And since Fenway's off the table and I haven't been to San Francisco.
I didn't choose Fenway.
You can't eliminate despite all of the nostalgia.
I'm going to take Fenway because I was able to go out and touch the Green Monster.
Oh, nice.
And then late in the game, they were losing, which was too bad, to the Yankees. But that meant a lot of people left. And so I went out and sat in the red seat, you know, the Ted Williams' seat just to be able mm-hmm. to do that.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, they take their baseball very seriously.
Yes, they do.
There was a point where I thought we were going to see a riot. People were throwing beer at each other. You know, it was like, and it was before, this is long enough ago that it was before the Red Sox had gone to the World Series. And yes. so, you know, the Ruth curse is going to keep you out of here forever. You know, this kind of back and forth. And
right. Did you go see the Yankees play there?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that would have been a dream of mine. Was, I actually have a great story about who I saw, but go ahead.
Well, no, that's it. It's just entirely by chance, and that's what we saw. Mm-hmm.
So I mentioned I went in 2001, which was the year that Alex Rodriguez, remember, left the Mariners between 2000 and the 2001 season. Yeah. So I saw the Red Sox kick the crap out of Alex Rodriguez and the Texas Rangers, which made it even a little sweeter.
I went to Fenway and the Mariners were playing.
Ah.
And here's the really nice thing about Boston fans. They think Mariner fans are adorable.
Yeah.
They don't most care people, about us in any way. I wore my Mariners gear and I was like telling my dad, I was 16, I was telling my dad going to the ballpark, like, you think this is going to be
the way Husky fans feel about the Cougs.
Hot take 10 minutes into the show. and they were just kind of like, I was telling my dad, like, I think, you know, what if they yell at me? I mean, I hear that they're brutal. And they were like, hey, welcome to the ballpark. It's nice to see you. Where are you staying today? Blah, blah, blah. They were totally fine.
No threat whatsoever.
Yeah. They
weren't that way with Yankees.
No.
Yeah, I bet.
No, I bet. I bet. I you know what I liked? What I really like about what they've done with the newer stadiums is that they decided to go real distinct with them, you know? And I think that still sets baseball apart from the other sports a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, football, even they're trying to do things crazy and wacky with their stadiums, but it's 100 yards, mm-hmm. you know, and that's it. And so you can't really change much in terms of the dimension, whereas in baseball you have an opportunity to kind of mess around with the dimensions of the ballpark. I remember we went down to Houston, and it was fun to see sort of like a right-hander could just – tap the ball and it would go out of the ballpark and that sort of stuff. It's pretty fun to see the unique nooks and crannies. For me, I'm probably going to go with either Safeco because it's just a good ballpark to go to with your family and have a good time. And also, don't underestimate the fact that even at the height of like a hot summer, it's still not a blistering like 120 degrees like mm-hmm. it would be at a Wrigley or AT&T. AT&T was really spectacular. Right on the water there, felt super intimate. You know, San Francisco fans are really like actually sneaky good baseball fans. Like they know what they're talking about. So I thought that was a pretty good part.
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
All right. So here we go. Number two is more of a nostalgic one. What is your favorite baseball memory? Mm-hmm. So when I asked this question, I purposefully didn't put in personal or watching it on TV. It really is actually whatever you want to actually have. So what's your favorite baseball memory?
It's a personal one.
Okay.
So I was at a game with my mom and my brother, and the Mariners were playing some AL team that we hated, I'm sure. And my mom leaned over and she was like, Griffey's going to hit 3 home runs. And I was like, okay. All right, we'll see. And he hit his first home run, and I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, he's going to hit the next one next inning. Sure enough, he hit another home run, and by that time, people were turning around like, what? Who is this lady? And she's like, okay, the third one's coming up. Yeah. Eighth inning, I'd say. Sure enough, he hit another home run.
No way. In the eighth inning?
Yeah, and she was just like, I just knew it.
Wow. Your mom was scouting Griffey ahead of time.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I mean, not like he, you know, needed to be scouted.
It's not like the craziest prediction to say Griffey's going to hit a home run.
That is true.
But, you know.
Three in one game
is pretty good. And he got the innings right. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I was just like, man, I need to use this somehow. How do I monetize this, mother? Come on.
That's right. I've not
been able to make it happen.
How about you, Greg? Favorite baseball memory?
Again, I'm going to give you a couple. And I will choose one. But my first baseball memory, and it's part of the reasons why I like the Sox, is the Carlton Fisk run in the World Series, watching it on television.
There it goes, a long drive. If it stays fair, home run.
We will have a seventh game in this 1975 World Series.
You know, I was kind of drawn to the Sox anyway because of their I love underdogs, so just kind of their history of,
How do you feel about them now?
You know, I still root for them.
Sure.
But it's not as passionately as it was.
No, I feel
then. I mean, 86, about
Bill
killed
Buckner.
Me. But because I'd really followed him closely through my childhood. And, and even, you know, the Mariners, I rooted for them. I went to Mariner games, but they weren't good enough to really, you know, be your team. Right?
Yeah.
And so that was really kind of my first awesome moment in baseball, but I think it's surpassed by I got to go to the playoff game in 95, not the series. I did
the
I
one
did
against
go
the
to
Angels.
One game in the series against the Yankees, but the one game playoff against the Angels.
There?
I was there.
Yeah,
I had bought into season tickets with a group of guys, and you know, got 15 games or whatever, and none of them else could go. I was the only one who could go to that game, and so I got the tickets for that game, and so me and a buddy went up, and to be at that game where, you know, beating Langston after Langston had left, and obviously winning to get into the playoffs
the
for the
weird
first time
grand
ever,
slam
and,
that and Louis the, Soho hit.
You know,
game.
I had been to a few games that fall leading up to it, and so you know, had felt like I'd been kind of part of the run to catch the Angels and everything, and so to be there during that playoff game was pretty awesome.
Yeah, 95 is about the 95 Mariners season is about one of the coolest seasons in baseball.
You know, it's always that first time is always the best, right?
And
so to that to
and to
be
that
there
far,
during during that moment and it was an exciting game too. It was really close. Johnson and Langston battled it out pretty, and you know, then the Mariners kind of broke it open late.
Yeah,
and the big Soho hit. You know, where everybody scores, I think, you know, with Rick Riz yelling that and stuff.
But, yeah, so cool.
No, that I think that, because I was there and all
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. I love that one. David?
We should have coordinated ahead of time.
Is that your number one?
No, but it was, they all center on the 95 season.
Oh, sweet.
And I was actually working in this office, and they had the one-day playoff, and it was like a 1 o'clock game. So we, a group of us, took a late lunch, went to one of the guy's house, and watched that. And I, you know, we were jumping around on the furniture, and we're all grown men.
Super
you know?
Cool.
I mean, it was and that Soho thing, and everything you just said. So I'm going to move on from it. It was amazing. And then I got to see several of the playoff games. In the kingdom.
I
had two different friends who'd managed to win whatever the lottery was, and we were literally up against the back concrete.
Nice.
Oh, wow. Way at the top.
300 level. I mean, it's literally just to be in the building, you know, kind of thing. And so I was at the game where Edgar had seven ribbies or whatever that insane game was that he had. And I can still picture the ball. He hit a home run that I can still picture the ball leaving the home plate area. And then waiting for the crowd to react because the sight lines were so bad in the kingdom, we didn't see it leave.
Didn't know it was hit.
We didn't know.
And so
it's like, it looked like maybe because it was kind of a line drive, you know, and then people went insane, and then we knew, you know.
Yeah.
And then the last one was the game following that where they beat the Yankees to go to the next level to Cleveland, right? Yeah. Wasn't it? Was at my folks' house, and my parents are you know, nominally interested in sports, and mom's like, "You got to come over. We're gonna make dinner and just this really wonderful family evening, sitting watching that game and being so excited and just wrapped up in what was happening."
Yeah, cool. That's awesome.
It was
cool. I mean, 95 was just a really super fun season.
They would love a base hit into the gap, and they could win it with junior speed the stretch. And the 0-1 pitcher on the way to Edgar Martinez. Swung on the line down the left field line for a base hit. Here comes Joy. Here is Junior to third base. They're going to wave him in. The throw to the plate will be late. The Mariners are going to play for the American League Championship. I don't believe it.
Yeah. I would have to say, in thinking about it, personally, because my dad grew up near Boston. So he was a huge Red Sox fan. And we would always go in the mid-90s when they were bad, you know. But watching him watch the 2004 ALCS was a lot of fun because it was like they were down 3-0 and there was that last inning and Dave Roberts making the steal and all that sort of stuff. To watch him sort of like – so the first game – he was like, he was upset. He was actually upset that they won game four. He was like, why are you doing this to me? I don't understand. We're just going to lose game five anyway, so this doesn't even matter. This is stupid. Just end the season now.
That's so Red Sox.
Right?
It's like, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You're going to torture me. And then the ball's going to go between
the
wickets.
We know it's not going to happen. That's exactly right.
They're like, collapse is coming. This is so stupid, right? And then... and then they won game five, and he allowed himself to kind of think it was possible. And then actually game six and game seven of that series are kind of blowouts. They weren't – well, this game six was still kind of close. Game seven's a blowout.
Yeah.
And still, what's his name, Francona, thought it was like clever. He thought he was going to be clever. He threw Pedro in there in like inning number seven in game seven. They were up by like six runs or something. And he thought, well, I'm going to have Pedro exercise the demons. And he gives up a couple hits and a couple runs. And watch my dad be like, this is it. It's over. This is it. Yeah. They're going to come right back and they're going to rip out of our hearts in game seven. And then to watch it actually go to completion was pretty fun to watch because, like, he, like, all that whole sort of like childhood catharsis just came out. 86 was over, 03 was over. So that was a pretty cool, one.
Yeah.
On a personal, like, level, favorite baseball memory is not actually even a game. We went to Kansas City to go to a baseball game. My dad took us back there. And I went to the Negro League Baseball Hall of Fame. And it's this tiny little, like it looks like a broom closet, kind of like on a, just on a random street. It was, and you know, by then I had kind of known that baseball had this history behind it. But man, it was really one of the most eye-opening things. And then to go back and you did research on like who these players were and you were just like, man, this like missed moment in baseball, like all these guys were so good. That was really kind of, it was also like.
That's certainly on my bucket list. Unfortunately, you have to go to Kansas City.
You do.
In order to do it.
Hey, they mean, you know, they got okay barbecue, I suppose.
They have really good steaks in Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they got.
Since you brought that up, my grandfather, who was born in a tiny little town in Kansas, made a point of traveling to KC to see Satchel Paige.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
And he was probably 48 years old.
Wow,
You know, he was in the bullpen for the Athletics. I think it was KC Athletics, right? Didn't they go Philly and KC and then?
Yes, they did. Yeah.
And he said they. He remembers he had a rocking chair that he sat in.
Oh, wow.
Out in the bullpen area.
Yeah.
And
who knows? There's a lot of stories about him. He could have been 55.
We don't even know, actually.
Yeah, and he went for a weekend, and he got to see him pitch. And
that's awesome.
And I always thought that was said something great about my grandfather, that he would go to that trouble, because this is before there was any freeways in Kansas. It was a long trip. Anyway.
Yeah, that's a cool one. That's a cool one. Definitely one to go see. Let's take a second to talk about a fun new podcast we'll be rolling out during the annual giving campaign. Donors are always asking us about the impact their donations are making on our community. The Daily Drip, our new podcast, will be highlighting these impacts. Each day during the annual giving campaign, our fabulous hosts will take 10 minutes to showcase one of our incredible member charities and talk about how your donations help them accomplish their missions. The Daily Drip is like your daily shot of goodwill and charity news. So make sure to visit our Podcasts for Good webpage starting in October, or download the Daily Drip podcast on whichever app you use to listen to your favorite pods. And now, back to the show. All right, question number three. This is the one that'll get debate. Who's the greatest baseball player you've ever seen with your own eyes?
With my own eyes, since I am very limited in my actual geography here, it'd have to be either Cal Ripken Jr. or Randy Johnson.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I like both of those answers.
And I did see Cal Ripken Jr. on a tram in D.C., and I was stalking him a little, but he is he is fast. He's, like, this was just last November, and he is still, moves still well. Fast. Yeah.
Orioles should bring him in.
I know, right?
They could use him this year.
Yeah, for sure. I like that. Yeah. Cal Ripken, Iron Man. How about you?
I actually don't think there's going to be much debate here for between the at least Dave and I. I actually gave this a lot of thought because and part of it is some of the players that I saw now, their reputations are tainted, you know, and so it's hard, you know, when you talk about the Barry Bonds and
right because you can't actually believe your own eyes,
era,
you know what I mean?
Exactly. So you know, Mark McGuire's. I mean, I was at the Kingdom when he hit that ball off Randy Johnson that hit the back of the Kingdom. I mean, it almost felt like it was going to go through the wall.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you can't. You got to view those players so differently. So it. How can you pick anybody but Ken Griffey Jr.? I mean,
I know,
you're surprised.
You said with your own eyes.
Okay. But, and I mean.
I know. I never saw Willie Mays play. Okay. I would still argue, based on, you know, everything I have read and I've not seen with my own eyes, seen replays of and heard great baseball minds talk about, I would argue that Willie Mays probably is the greatest player ever.
Ever.
But
that
in
you've
terms
ever
of
personally
who I have seen,
personally. Okay.
Going back from the 70s when I first started watching baseball all the way through to now, you know, Junior, you know, you can pick players who are good hitters. You can pick players that, you know, were good pitchers, obviously, but are good fielders. Junior just did it all.
I know.
He did it all. You always knew something spectacular was going to happen, but you didn't know how it was going to happen.
You almost rooted for
and there were times when he made
spectacular
plays on the bases. Yeah. There were times when he made certainly spectacular plays in the outfield. Mm-hmm. And there were times when that guy just would put you out of your seat as soon as he hit the ball. And he, you know, I can count on probably one hand, the number of players that I would just get excited every time came to the plate.
Yeah.
And Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah.
Is right
he was, his at-bats were appointment viewing. So. A swing is gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
You so, rooted for a hard hit ball.
I know it's an easy
center.
Answer, especially from somebody from Seattle, but we were very fortunate to have him.
I mean, can you believe we really had probably the greatest player?
And did it the right way. Did it, by all accounts, clean when everybody else seemed to not be clean.
Yeah.
And still was doing it. Putting up numbers that competed with anybody who was doing something that shouldn't have been.
So we're thinking, so based on what you're saying, it sounds like you have a zero tolerance policy. These guys are not going to get in the Hall of Fame for you.
I do.
Yeah. So I like Barry Bonds isn't going to sniff the Hall of Fame.
Barry Bonds, Mark McGuire,
Clements,
Alex Rodriguez. I mean, you know, for some of them, you know, I think with Clements, probably it's most, the strongest argument that he put up numbers before he started using that should qualify him in. But to me, the fact that he made the choice to start using disqualifies him.
Do you leave room for people who never tested positive and just have maybe the cloud around them? Because Piazza got in a couple of years ago, and everybody kind of talked about how, like...
And I think you're going to find some of these guys. Bonds is going to get in.
You think so?
I do.
Oh,
I do think.
I don't know. He seems still pretty
because
fine.
The further you get, it's like anything else. The further you get from it, as voters come in who were not covering it during that era, they are going to be more forgiving of people in that era, especially the ones who have Barry Bonds most home runs out of anybody. You know, it's hard. I think further you get from it, it's easier. It's probably the best way to put it. It's easier to argue that he should be in.
Yeah.
But in me, in my mind, having lived through it, having been probably the strongest part of my fanhood during that era, all those guys are tainted.
Yeah, it's too bad. It's too bad because the baseball's all about numbers, and to have these guys basically obliterate numbers.
Yeah.
Of guys who probably weren't doing those sort of things, just that makes it.
Yeah, and it taints baseball forever. I mean, it taints because baseball is about statistics, and that's what's so fun about the game, the history mm-hmm, of mm-hmm. it is the one it more than other sports you can compare, I think, eras because mm-hmm. of statistics.
Yeah.
And because the game basically hasn't changed. I mean, you know, ballpark sizes change.
Yeah.
And certainly the, you know, you can argue that athletes are better athletes now than they were back then, but they didn't have as many teams back then. So you had more elite of the athletes playing in major leagues.
Yeah.
You've got, you know, the pool has been diluted to some degree because you got 32 teams now, right? Yeah. So I think that kind of evens things out
yeah.
a little bit yeah. in that regard. But so now you got Bonds up there. What do you do with them? You know,
right.
That record is.
You know, the asterisk on Roger Maris.
Yeah,
sure.
Because he was more games than Ruth hit.
Right.
Shouldn't that come off?
Now,
the
asterisk should be unhelped with.
Right.
No PE. You know,
yeah.
No PEs.
Yeah.
So I'm going to cut this short by saying Ken Griffey.
Yes, okay.
Absolutely. I remember sitting in the Kingdome and thinking, I cannot believe that this guy is ours.
I know.
You know, here we are in Seattle. How in the world is this the case? You know?
I know.
And yes, when he was hurt an appropriate length of time. He didn't jump back in, you know, in miraculous recoveries. And his statistics are real statistics.
Yeah.
And so I agree with you 100%. I wanted to throw out a couple of other things that I witnessed over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the game where Nolan Ryan and Randy Johnson were pitching against
each
other.
Oh, wow.
Which turned out to be not a great game or anything like that, but it happened. They
that was pretty
they
cool.
were two starters, and it was about 2 weeks before Nolan was done, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, that was his last year.
Yeah. Yeah. And Nolan was, you know, I mean, he was real.
Yeah, he was.
He wasn't using any drugs. And there's that.
He did use Advil.
Yes.
I will say Nolan was what I considered for greatest players I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did get to see him pitch a couple times.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there was no one to pitch like
yeah,
that.
He's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, that many no-hitters is insane.
Yeah.
Right. And frankly, having RJ on our team and the way he left town was such a bummer because
mm-hmm.
He turned around and won 10 straight games, and it was clear that he was, you know, sacking it to get out of here. And
yeah.
That was a sad thing, but... yeah, Griffey, I mean, I've got the Sports Illustrated with him on the front cover that says The Natural on it.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that's just every time he did something, you were – and I used to – because I was born in New York City in 1961 when Maris was doing his thing, I've got a couple of newspapers from those times. So I have years when he was at 46, 47, and then 1 year the strike – shortened it,
mm-hmm.
and then another year he broke something in his hand, and there was. But I was ready for him to be the one who actually broke that. I think, except for circumstances, it should have been Ken Griffey. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, we forgot to set this up, but you know, Dave has seen many more baseball errors sure. than I have personally, so he has a wider range of
sure.
players to choose from going back. You know,
he's so much older.
Not as far back as Ruth.
All right,
but certainly Mantle and.
Two others.
Ty Cobb.
Dead ball era.
Two others. When I was six and we went to Metropolitan Stadium, I saw Rod Carew play. Don't remember it at all.
Oh.
And in that game that I saw in Cincinnati, I saw Pete Rose get a hit.
Oh!
And I left the stadium thinking I had seen something important.
Mm-hmm.
Now, later he was found to have bet on those games, maybe.
So was it the year he was coach?
He was
managing
player.
And
yep.
playing.
That,
yeah.
was, uh-huh. that was that year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Rod Carew was one of my favorite players growing up.
I
had a Rod
cool.
Carew poster on my wall. I loved him. I
yeah.
thought, you know, mm-hmm. the art of hitting.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
had mastered it. And
yeah.
I love him.
Well, it's. I mean, for me, it's definitely Griffey. He's number one. But I have to say, shout out to Tony Gwynn.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
Great hitter. Probably mm-hmm. the best pure hitter I've ever seen.
Oh, no, wait a minute.
Oh, what are we thinking? No?
Compared to Griffey? Or
I would say Edgar Martinez is a pretty good pretty good.
See, I thought you were going to go to Carew because I thought Carew.
I don't know. Edgar was a good hitter.
No, Tony Gwynn was great.
Tony Gwynn was amazing. I mean, he almost got to hit 400.
Starting some.
No, he was great. I would argue that he was kind of single-dimensional.
Ichiro, if you will, of his day.
Hit, but, you know, put him in the field. I mean, he was playing first base, so, you know. He did have to play in the field. He wasn't.
National League.
Wasn't able to go hang around on the bench and be a DH like the American League, which nice. We'll get into in a little
standard.
Bit. But
serviceable.
The other one I would say, the biggest tragedy is Alex Rodriguez. Because when I saw him play pre, like, steroids, all that sort of stuff, I thought I was watching, I thought this is the next Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah.
This is the best pure baseball player I've ever seen play baseball. Best shortstop I had personally ever viewed to that point. And then the minute he decided he was going to become A-Rod, quote-unquote, and he was going to concentrate on power numbers and all this sort of stuff, the feeling went away.
He was a talented guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just a jerk on a level beyond...
From the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Remember when he announced he didn't even want to play here? Don't draft me, I don't want to come here.
Yeah. Even as a Mariner, there was just this sense about Alex that everything was just fake and planned.
Yep.
And,
absolutely.
And,
it's always great. It's always really solidifies how much you hate a player to have them go play for the Yankees.
Yes.
And then you're good to go. And then you know, okay, I can hate that person. I can hate that ball player.
To that.
Right? And so
he almost went to the Red Sox. I wasn't sure what I was going to do.
I know.
To be honest with you, because I did still root for the Red Sox back then. And boy, when it was down between him and the Yankees, the thought of him going to the Yankees. But then the thought of him playing for the Red Sox, I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. That'd been hard.
I always thought it was weird, though, too. Like, he was the one who was the jerk, not Jeter. Jeter was the Yankee.
Right.
And it was our guy who was the jerk.
A-Rod hated.
Yeah.
It's true, though. Jeter, people had so much respect for Jeter. Yeah. Even Red Sox fans were like, I would want him to play on my team.
I read something about Jeter. Somebody, unpopular opinion, they said that Jeter is Craig Biggio without the hype. Like all the media hype?
Oh my gosh, really? That guy's up. No.
So I was like, huh. That's an interesting
opinion. Well, I think
it
gets to
a
comparison of numbers. His numbers probably do compare pretty pretty much like that. And playing in New York. But man, Jeter just rose the occasion.
He's a clutch ball player.
He rose the occasion.
He's one of the most clutch ball players ever.
Time and time again.
Man, he would just rip the heart out of a ton of teams.
He's the only Yankee I would speak.
I remember that one play. It was super random, and he, ran. It was a pop fly. It was a foul ball. It was about to go out into the stands, and he literally, dove face first and, face planted against a seat and got all, he got bloody. And I remember turning to my wife because we were watching that game, and I was like, that's the difference between him and A-Rod, is that he'll go do that.
Mm-hmm.
A-Rod will be like, my face is too pretty. I don't want to ruin
it. It's out.
Yeah. I can't.
Well, and then after the game, talk about the team and talk about, you know, not talk about himself.
Yeah. Yeah. Another guy.
A-Rod can't do anything but talk about himself.
I know.
So we're not having A-Rod on the show?
I don't think we're going to invite A-Rod to the show. No.
Are we going
to
be spared having A-Rod in the booth during the World Series?
I can't watch it.
I cannot stand it.
I don't think you're going to have it. I think.
You know, they keep trying to rehabilitate his image. Right. And I just know.
And look who's coming up. High fly ball into right field. She is gone! In a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened.
All right, so next question. What is the best baseball movie of all time? Let's start over here.
All right, so I have an honorable mention.
Okay.
8 Men Out.
Oh, brilliant movie.
It's a great movie.
Dang
you're sucked in with them. Oh, you're like, no, Joe, say it ain't so. You don't want Bucky to play, and then he gets in trouble.
Super rewatchable. I can watch that a ton of times.
Love it.
If it's on TNT, I'll watch
that absolutely.
Movie. Yeah.
But best baseball movie of all time, Bull Durham.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, it's fun. They're funny. Every time. It makes me laugh. There are so many lines you can quote over and over again.
Yeah. 8 Men Out, man, that's a good
one. 8 Men Out, man.
Think outside the box. That's a good one. Also, the old school baseball stuff is pretty fun.
Yeah.
If they do it right. What's his name as Shoeless Joe?
Oh,
brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Was
even
it
though.
Davey Sweeney? Yeah.
Yeah. Was it Davey Sweeney, right? Yeah. And he batted incorrectly? That was Ray Liotta from Field of Dreams. He batted in the wrong hand.
Yeah.
all right. So, Greg, what's your favorite baseball movie of all time?
Well, I'm going to put plug in for Bad News Bears.
Not the Billy Bob Thornton
not the
one?
Stupid remake. But,
no, nobody wants that.
You know, again, I was
really thought you would have gone with that one.
9 or 10 years old when that came out, playing Little League Baseball. And,
yeah.
And that was a lot of fun.
That's
and
a great one.
I still
one.
Love watching that.
I love that one.
When I find it on TV. Yeah. I think kind of underrated one that has been growing on me, maybe the older I get, appreciate a little bit more is The Natural.
Oh, yep. Another great one.
When it first kind of came out, but the more I've watched it, especially I think as I get older. But for me, the best one is Field of Dreams. Just the emotions surrounding it, mm-hmm. connecting with fathers and sons, yep. and the history of the game, and all that together in one film is pretty powerful. So.
It's like a romantic movie where the romantic lead is baseball. It's not like a lady. It's baseball.
I love you, baseball.
Yeah. That's exactly how it was. I love you, baseball. It's like a love letter to baseball. I love that. I love that movie. It's great. There's so many good lines in that movie, too. Mm. So how about you, sir?
Well, so Field of Dreams is the winner. But there are other – almost any movie that has baseball in it, with the exception of Pride of the Yankees, because it's just so sad, is one that I'll sit down and watch over. Mm-hmm. And so what were the movies that were Major League?
Yes.
Vaughn into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
Most quotable Euchre. Baseball movie. Bob Euchre.
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant.
Wait, just a little bit outside, you know? But there's some lower end ones like Mr. Baseball, where Tom Selleck goes and plays in
uh-huh. yeah. Yes.
Uh-huh. It's unwatchable. I can watch that movie. There's one called Little Big League.
Where the kid
does something to his arm, and now he has a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. And there's another one, and maybe you guys can remember the name of it, where the kid inherits the twins
yes.
from his grandfather.
Angels in the Outfield?
No. That one's good too, though.
And he has to manage the team.
Yes.
I remember it.
You can put the 10-year-old boy that's inside of everybody but Heather. Heather.
I'm like 53% dude.
Pretty quickly, you can kind of, well, how would I do that? You know, what would I do with that guy? He's being rude to that young man. You know?
Yes. Yeah.
And there's one other, and
you know who the villain?
Brewster's Millions.
Oh, Brewster's Millions!
Wow, that's a stretch. Tying into a baseball.
John Candy is his catcher. And they play in such a bad ballpark that they have to stop when the train comes.
We just passed. I think. Was it the 20th anniversary or 25th anniversary of The Sandlot?
That was mine.
And that was the last one.
That was one of my favorites. So I think,
and Sandlot you can watch over and over.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that... By the way, did you know who the villains were in that Minnesota Twins movie? The Mariners.
Yes, they were. Many
Ken Griffey Jr. was like the villain in the movie.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. They're like the team that can't be stopped.
Wow.
And the plucky underdog Minnesota Twins are going against the juggernaut that is
fantasy.
The Seattle Mariners.
Funny. Oh man!
Yeah, I would go Bull Durham number one.
Yeah.
Home run for Bert Brooks, Fayetteville General.
What are you doing, huh? What are you doing standing here? I give you a gift. You stand here, show up my pitcher. Run, dummy! Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he?
And then I would go Field of Dreams, like 1-1 B, because it's like right there. I mean, both of those make you stop, and you just stop what you're doing and you watch it. And then Sandlot was great because, you know, I was the same sort of thing, like with the Bad News Bears for you. Sandlot was what I was growing up with. And
you're not as old as I am?
No. What are you talking about? I'm a plucky 29-year-old.
Nice.
So the Sandlot was probably...
#millennial.
Yeah. Yeah, if we're millennials like Greg. So Sandlot was probably my favorite. I really love that one. Also, I kind of like 42, the story of Jackie Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's probably one of the last baseball movies we'll see for a long time, because nobody watches baseball.
Well, and they made a movie, 61, with the Astros.
Yeah.
Which was very cool.
Yeah, it was
and
good.
And it was more of a flat presentation mm-hmm. than most of these. But it's good if you're a kid who wants to learn all the stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what I liked about 42 is that while it's probably not as – it's not as like – doesn't have the juice that like the other – other ones do with the great dialogue and stuff like that. It really is a great way to learn, like, what exactly Jackie Robinson went
through.
Okay,
so now I'm going to bring up another one as A League of Their Own.
Oh,
brilliant
yeah.
movie.
I can watch that movie.
There's no crying in baseball.
Brilliant movie.
Oh,
Tom Hanks.
God, there's so many lines in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And here's Marla Hooch. And she's out there in the distance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Waving.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. I mean,
that's such a good one.
I feel like Tom Hanks. I feel
Tom
like
Hanks
forget
is
Forrest
genius.
Gump.
Oh. Yeah, that's it.
League of Their Own. He's so good in that movie. The part where he's like giving the signs, and then Gina Davis is right next to him giving the signs at the same time. They're canceling each other out. It's hilarious. That's awesome.
Or like anytime he tells them to use their brain, it's that lump 3 feet above your ass, right?
So good.
Oh,
so
he was
good.
Great.
He's so awesome.
And does Ken Burns documentary qualify in this category?
Oh, wow.
It's a movie. Yeah.
Because
wow.
if anyone's out there that is interested in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Watch
where to
that.
Go, yeah.
Watching that, not just to learn about the history of the game, but to hear the folks they interview talk about what baseball meant in their childhood and how they became fans mm-hmm. back in the day and the rivalries that took place between the teams in New York and mm-hmm. everything. And but also very honestly showing all the warts.
Yeah,
of the games. Mm-hmm.
And, did a really good job
of the game and as it the way they dealt with integrating baseball and the way the owners treated the players for decades.
Yep,
it's just a fantastic documentary.
And it's cool how they go like one of the things. So that's how I was even introduced to Ken Burns was the baseball mm-hmm. documentary, and then they break the way he breaks it down like innings 1, 2, 3, 4, five all the way through. So like inning 4 is integration, and inning 5 is like you know is like dealing with free agency and like that sort of stuff. It's very cool. Like the whole presentation was just great. I remember a long time ago I wanted to get that for a Christmas present, right? I asked my dad to get me the set, and they got it for me, and I still have it on VHS.
Oh,
I
nice.
Do too, actually. I have it on VHS. I don't have a VHS player
I know.
anymore, but I have it on VHS. I don't know why I keep it.
I know. I can't play it anywhere.
I also have it on VHS.
So if anybody listening has a VHCR, please send it into the CFD. We'll take it off your hands.
Watch some baseball
we'll pay
documentaries.
Top dollar for it at this point. Okay, so here is the last one that I want a really good hot take from everybody about baseball. So we'll start. We'll go with you.
Okay.
We'll start with you. Give us your hottest baseball take. A hot take from baseball.
Well, I've got two hot takes, but the hottest baseball take, I think that would be for this room.
Mm-hmm.
Mariners aren't going to the World Series until I'm out at least 50.
Oh.
Yeah. They're not.
Really?
No. I don't think so.
Well, I can relate to that.
Yeah. Yeah? Okay. See, yeah, I thought that would be the hottest hot take I could have.
That's pretty, been to the World Series, good. And I'm past it.
Yeah. I love them. They're adorable, but whatever.
Yeah. Boy, that really... really you brought down the room.
Yeah.
So then, Greg, let's get your hot take.
Well, there's this big push right now, and it certainly looks like they're going to do it in the next couple of years, to add the DH into the National League.
Oh.
And my hot take, I don't know if it's
terrible.
Too hot, but is that that's going in the absolute opposite direction of what I
think.
I think they should eliminate the DH in the American League and go back to the way baseball was originally meant to be played and have pitchers hit. Go back to letting the pitchers hit. It makes for, I think, a more interesting game to watch, a more strategic game. And
managers got to be better.
The exact opposite direction.
Yeah.
I think
managers have to be better at the game in the National League because they have to plan around the guy who's just not going to hit at all.
So if I was to make one change, if I was commissioner for a day, it would be eliminate the DH
out of baseball. Eliminates Edgar Martinez from the Hall of Fame.
I know Edgar'd have to play in the field, Dave. I'm sorry. He was a third baseman.
Unfortunately, every time
and
he was a pretty decent third baseman
for a long time
until he broke himself. Yeah. He was an okay third baseman. I hear you, and you make a good point. I just love the fact that you got guys who continue to play, who can hit. Tony Gwynn. Mm-hmm. No, I guess he never left the Padres.
He didn't.
Did he?
No, he played in the National League the whole time.
Yeah, he did. Okay. But some of the guys that played for Toronto back when they were good, you know, toward the end of their careers.
David Ortiz would be one.
Yeah.
Was Cecil Fielder? He was DH.
Cecil Fielder was probably a DH toward the end of his career.
And then
put him at first base.
And then Edgar, you know,
they can play first base is solid. Instead of sitting on the bench.
I
get him on the field.
First base. Anyway, can play first base.
Baseball.
All you have to do is catch. Stop lollygagging.
Yeah, baseball. They should be on the field. That's sitting on the bench.
Okay. Okay.
I like that the NL is different.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that when we have to play in NL parks, they got to play. We got to play their rules. They got to play ours. It makes it for more interesting stuff. So, I've been trying to figure out how to make games be a little shorter.
Okay.
All by yourself? Have you written the commissioner? What are you doing?
No, I mean, you know, just you're sitting watching. You're thinking, you know, and there are times when there's just they're pitching to one guy. And it's not the playoffs. It's just a game. It's just one of 162 games you're going to play this season.
Mm-hmm.
And you bring a guy in, you warm him up, he pitches to one guy, and then you take him out. And it's 20 minutes later, and I can tell you that I haven't been able to interest my kids in this game other than if I take them to the ballpark, because that's an experience.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is, you know, I mean, waiting while they warm a guy
up. Okay.
Yeah. You know?
But it's also in at bats, too. The batters are just as much to blame for
the length of the game. Yeah, because
they're always stepping out. They step out after every pitch, and they adjust 16 different things. And I mean, everybody, you know, everybody points to Noma, but
it was true. He was pretty disastrous.
He was, and he was on the far end of it. But you watch every batter.
Yeah,
they step out after every pitch. Stay in the box.
Yeah.
You don't have to step out and check with the coach and adjust everything on every pitch.
Nothing's changed.
Yeah. Nothing's if something's changed, something dramatic's happened.
There's still two outs and a guy on first.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's. I don't think it would hurt the game to have a more attention. And they did a little, you know, they've got a timer now on some stuff. But, you know, let's step it up.
How do you feel about an actual timer on pitchers? Like you have to throw the ball within 25 seconds. Because they do that at Tacoma Rainiers now.
Do they?
Yeah. Like the minute the guy gets the ball back, this little clock starts.
They're testing it. They're testing it in the minors.
Okay,
and I have to say,
they've talked about that.
I haven't seen too much.
As long as the batter and the pitcher are held to the same standard, and the batter, you know, has to stay
get in
and is called in.
Yeah,
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah,
you know, pitchers stand out there. I'd much rather see, and frankly, I think it benefits a pitcher that gets in a rhythm and grabs the ball and throws, and gets the ball back and gets the sign and throws and gets the sign and throws, as opposed to one who just stands out there and give me a nice compact 2.5 hour baseball game that is 4-2 or 3-1 any day over, you know, a 13-11 slugfest that takes 3 hours and 45 minutes to play. I'm sorry, I'd much rather see that first type of game.
Okay, cool.
What do you got?
I have two hot takes. My first is Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame.
Whoa!
You're wrong.
He bet on games.
I know. But listen to my argument. Okay, so
it's your show. We
he'll just unplug the mics.
Okay, so first, even though definitely it's egregious that he bet on games while he was the manager of the Reds.
It is the most egregious rules violation that one can have. Oh, are you kidding me? Because it calls into question the absolute integrity of
every decision
and every game.
Hear me out.
We agree it was egregious.
Yes. So, but manager wise, yes, you're right. That part should be like there should be a note or something.
An asterisk?
Something. an asterisk because they're doing that anyway, for his managerial stuff. But even if he were betting on baseball while he was playing, he was still Charlie Hustle. He was still taking out people. He was still hitting. He was still putting in maximum effort. And they were winning. They were the big red machine.
They were.
Right? So, I mean, as a ball player, as a baseball player, even if you're betting on the game as a baseball player, you can't really change that much of the outcome. As a manager, it's different.
So in my mind, it kind of goes back to what I mentioned during the steroid era, right? Mm-hmm. You have some players who I think, and even you probably make this argument for Bonds, you know, for the first 10 years of his career,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was a spectacular player compared to Ken Griffey Jr. Mm-hmm. In many respects, putting up numbers similar, playing with similar style, not juicing at that point. Mm-hmm. And based on those 10 years, probably would qualify for the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Roger Clemens the same way. It was until he got hurt and, you know, used it to recover that he then went on to continue to use. So, I view Rose the same way. I mean, I was a fan as a kid of the Big Red Machine. He wasn't my favorite player. I loved Bench more than I loved Pete Rose. But he... in one fell swoop over that extended period of time, crossed a line that I think disqualifies you. The same way that the guys who started using steroids.
Do you think it's the same thing? Steroids?
Oh, absolutely.
Steroids
is intentionally violating the rules.
Okay.
And I think it's actually even worse than steroids, to be honest with
you. Whoa.
I do.
See, that's betting, your hot take.
Betting on the game. Betting on games in which you are participating.
Who says he was betting? He says he was betting on his own team.
It undermines the integrity,
complete
and total integrity of the game. How can you have any confidence as a fan watching? It turns into professional wrestling then, right? You
know? Yeah, it does.
So I think it's worse than steroids, to be honest with you.
Okay.
And that's the reason why I would continue to keep him out. And because if you let him in, it somewhat is saying that
that's where
even after a period of time we're okay with that, and we can't be.
Okay,
it is a bright line.
Joe in the yeah.
Well, so I feel like he should be. You're asking me.
Well, at least you're consistent.
because I think that with Shoeless Joe, if you read the book Eight Men Out, with Shoeless Joe, there's not even actually evidence that he actually even got any money, and he hit like .375 for the World Series that he played in. Rose, I could see because there is something to be said for the fact that the commissioner said this is not legal. And you still knowingly broke the rules, and he set out what the consequence was for doing so, and was there for like 50 years. So I could see that. I could see definitely that portion of the argument. I would definitely disagree with the fact that that steroids isn't as bad as gambling, though, because I feel like. That stuff is bad. I mean, Rose betting against his team, if that were to ever come out, betting against his team is horrible. But, I mean, these guys sat there and knowingly, essentially, like, knew that they were getting an advantage over anybody else, you know, with the steroids. Like, Bonds knew full well when he was doing it. Like
Both are bad. And as I said, I think I'm being consistent in the to me both of those things disqualify them.
If we're going to say Bonds should be a Hall of Famer because the first 10 years of his career, then somebody would say, you know,
Pete Rose
could be the same thing. Yeah. But and then in reverse, you know, you should exclude them for their entirety.
But unlike the argument Greg made about Bonds, you're going to have some of those writers who come in who don't know and like have that rose colored view. At this point for Pete Rose, like nobody remembers or cares for a lot of it.
I think the only way that you're going to keep Bonds and those guys really onto the Hall of Fame is if the Major League Baseball comes out and says you're banned for life if you use steroids, because that's the only reason, in my opinion, I can see Pete Rose not making the Hall of Fame. Otherwise, he would have already gotten votes and he'd probably be in.
Yeah, if he didn't have that little
If he weren't banned from baseball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like I said, I think Bonds will eventually get in because his numbers just are so overwhelming. It's just going to be hard
right,
for people
but
not
so
to have
fake.
Him in. It's the folks like Sammy Sosa's and the Mark McGuire's and the Palmeros and who
were cusp
who's right
who are on the cusp
of
famers.
No, they're not cuspers. In any other era, with the numbers they have, they'd be in. But their production throughout their career is tainted completely. And their numbers aren't so spectacular. I mean, they are not the leading home run hitter ever.
Yes.
Both in season and career.
Right.
I think eventually Bonds will get
it. My other hot take is much tamer, and that is they should just
make... You get
two? I did. Well, I mean, I'm the host.
Oh, okay.
My other hot take is that they should just make the shift illegal. It annoys the bejesus.
Oh, boy, how do you do that? How do you legislate that? You draw lines on the field? You can
you
only go so far over?
I mean, how are you going to... You say that your shortstop cannot go beyond second base.
You know, the answer to the shift is pretty darn simple. And
hit
that is
the ball
learn
the
how to
stretch.
Hit the ball
I
the
understand.
Opposite way.
Yep.
Don't just sit up there and...
Hit the ball in the opposite direction.
Pull the ball every time.
It is amazing to watch these major league quote-unquote hitters.
When I was playing co-ed C-League softball, I learned how to hit to right field, even though I'm right-handed. If I can do that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's true. That's true.
That's right,
professionals
the pitching
should be
you
able to
facing
manage it.
Yeah. Real similar to...
Okay. That's my point.
That's what I was thinking.
All right. Well, hey. 90 mile an hour fastballs, right?
Well, hey, I want to thank David. I want to thank Greg for coming and sharing their best baseball memories and hottest baseball takes. I can appreciate that we had a little bit of a discussion on Pete Rose. That was nice. And we'll be airing this during the Midsummer Classic. So when the All-Star Game comes, you'll be hearing us talk about baseball. So thanks a lot, everyone. We'll talk to you soon.
So people turn off the All-Star Game and listen to the CFD podcast.
It's especially in the later innings of the All-Star game, we're much more entertaining.
Because they've been drinking? Is that where you're going?
We're much more entertaining. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Thanks a lot, everyone. Okay. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Are you crying?
No.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
Why don't you leave her alone, Jimmy?
Oh, you zip it, Doris.